Won't be able to go through all of them tonight, so we'll just kind of, you know, do what we can do. Be sure your sin will find you out. Tonight, I'm going to pick up in Romans 2 and just read a few of these verses. You don't need to stand tonight, just going to read, comment, and we'll look at some more of these points of how the Bible is a sure book. It's a more sure word of prophecy. We started with that passage, but I saved that point for the last point because the Bible is it's not that I saved the best for last. Maybe I did. I don't know. These are not in any order, of course, but we do know that the Bible is God's Word. We do know that it's true from the very beginning right through to the last amen of the Word of God, and we can take it and use it in our life. What the problem is so often we don't read it and study it and live it. And that's what we need to do. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans 2, 1, it says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Question mark. Do you think, any of you in this room, do you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? You will not. Not a human being alive. Not an angel anywhere in the universe. Not Satan himself is going to escape the judgment of God. There's a verse over in Amos that says, prepare to meet thy God. There used to be a big sign on that barn out on 318 just before you got to Gravel Road. And the sign was there until the barn came down. I think the sign came down with the barn. I don't know who owned that. I don't know anything about that. But I always looked at that, and it made you think as you were driving by that barn that you need to prepare to meet God. And because judgment is coming after we die. Every one of us, every human being is gonna stand in front of God someday. The creator of the universe. You need to think about that. That's a very, very serious thing. Verse 4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God just being good leads people to repentance. God's goodness just leads people to him. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Father, thank you that we could gather tonight. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come out on this Sunday night. I'm always grateful, Lord, for people that come out to church for any of the services. Lord, we just pray that as we continue this message tonight, that you would speak to our hearts about your sure things. And Lord, these that we're going to look at here tonight are extremely important, as we looked at the one this morning about how our sin is going to find us. But Lord, also we know that your judgment day is coming. It's a sure thing. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight and bless the word of God as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Point number two in this message is very simple. Judgment is coming. That's a sure thing. We saw that in that passage of Scripture there that I just read. It's a sure thing. It is going to happen. Verse 2, again, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We are sure that the judgment of God is coming. No getting out of it. No escaping it. No hiding behind some cloud somewhere in heaven and trying to see if you can get away from the judgment of God. Every human being ever that's been born, will be born, will stand in front of God someday. Hebrews 9:27, probably many of you know the verse, but we'll look at it. Hebrews 9:27. This is a sure thing. Judgment is coming. It's sure. It's going to happen. It is certain. It is infallible. It's kind of like, you better get prepared. You better get ready because judgment day is coming. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Once you die, there's going to be a judgment coming. Now, we know there are, we know of at least two major judgments. And those two major judgments, every human being will stand in front of one of those. Just one. You take your pick now while you have an opportunity. You actually pick your judgment. Did you know that? While here on planet, you pick your judgment. If you get saved, if you're not saved, you get saved, or those of us that are saved, we've already picked our judgment place. And that judgment place is the Bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ. I picked that. I much would rather pick that one than the other one. The other one is for the lost, for those that are not saved. That is the great white throne judgment. So when I say you pick your judgment, it simply means that when you get saved, you are picking the judgment seat of Christ over the great white throne judgment. If you don't get saved, you are picking or choosing the great white throne judgment over the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will be at the one, the Bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ. Every lost person will be at the great white throne judgment. And we read about them both. I have the scriptures here. We're going to look at them briefly. But you pick the judgment. So which judgment do you want to go to? Now, I know that we say, well, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. Well, I'm looking forward to that more than the other one. I'm not looking forward. I got to give an account of myself. You got to give an account of yourself. We're going to stand in front of God. I mean, it makes it very clear here that in this passage of Scripture and other places that we will stand in front of God. Every human being is going to stand in front of God. He's either going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or he's going to have some other words for us. And we actually, by the way we live our life, we choose that way. Or we choose that avenue also. If you're living a faithful life, doing the, you know what God requires of you? Faithfulness and just do the best you can. He doesn't require anything more than that, does he? He requires in all stewards that a man, woman, boy and girl, be faithful. That's it. You're to be faithful. Faithful in every walk of life, every aspect of life, everything you're doing, your Christian walk, your Christian talk, your Christian actions. It's all just being faithful is all he requires of you and I. But judgment is coming. It's a sure thing. You can, as they say, you can take it to the bank with you. You can mark it down. It's going to take place. Now, there is a heaven for the saved, right? There is a hell for the lost. Amen? That's what the Bible makes very, very clear. And that is not subjective. That's not relative. It's an absolute. There is a heaven and there is a hell, right? I mean, if you know your Bible, you study your Bible, you've read your Bible, you know exactly that's what the Bible teaches. There is no in-between place. There's no purgatory. Sorry, there's no purgatory. There's no place where you can go for a little while and get your sin cleansed and then, you know, be welcomed into heaven or paradise or whatever. That is not there. That does not exist at all anywhere in the Bible. So there is a heaven for the saved. And someday we that are saved will be standing in front of that judgment seat. Romans 14:10. Now we have a choice, Christian. We have a choice right now for us to prepare for that judgment seat now while we're alive. Because once you die, it's too late to prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. You can't prepare for that anymore, right? Amen? You can only prepare for the judgment seat of Christ right now while you're alive on planet Earth. This gives us the opportunity. See, when the Lord saved us, He didn't zap us off to heaven. He didn't take us off to heaven. He left us here. Why did He leave us here? Well, to serve Him. To bring pleasure to Him, to honor Him, to be faithful to Him, to point others in the direction of Christ, to spend time studying and preparing, listen, preparing for eternity. Do you know the Christian life, the Christian walk, the Christian talk is actually in preparation for eternity? We are learning the Word of God. We're learning about eternity. We're learning the things of God. We're learning what God likes and what He dislikes. He tells us how to be faithful. He tells us all these different things. What He is doing is He's preparing us for eternity. I wish more Christians had that outlook. Because they get saved and then they just go off and do their own thing and they don't do anything for eternity. They don't do anything for the Lord. It's their own life. I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. That is not how God planned it. He planned it for us to prepare for eternity, to get prepared for judgment seat. Judgment is coming. He told us about it. He made it clear in the Scriptures. So it's up to you and I to prepare for judgment day. And if you stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and you are, however you want to put it, if you're scared to death to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, it may be that you're not preparing properly in this life for that time. I don't know. It's up to you. But Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One by one, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think one by one we're going to go up, and there's Jesus Christ sitting on that judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account. Now, if we've done what we're supposed to do in this life as a saved person, and was faithful and serving and just trying to please Him the best we can, I believe we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I believe that. I believe it's not going to be a horrible place to stand in front of. Remember, God loves us. Jesus Christ loves us. Our Father is a loving Father. Christ is a loving God. And if we're preparing properly now, why do we have to be afraid to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ? I'm not undermining that. I'm just saying if we do what Christ instructs us to do in His Word, we don't have to be afraid to stand there. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's that little term again, judgment seat of Christ. And Paul is saying here, as he's writing to the church of Corinth, as he wrote to the church of Rome, we must all. He's including himself. That's Christian. Okay? This is not for the lost. The lost person will not stand at this judgment. Only the saved will be at this judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Right there, it should tell you, there's the preparation. Let's prepare properly. Say that 10 times fast. Let's prepare properly. Let's be the faithful Christians that we need to be. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The word bad means worthless. This is not a place where you're going to be judged according to your sin. Thank God that was taken care of on the cross of Calvary. We do not have to ever answer for our sins in heaven. It's whether our life was good for God or worthless for God, and that takes us over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 10. Again, we choose now in this life to prepare, and we choose in this life which judgment you want to stand in front of. I'll take this one any day over the other one. In verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3, it says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So Paul, right there, I've underlined that. We need to take heed how we're building on this foundation. And then it says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself, thank God for this, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you're not going to lose your salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. This is a done deal in this lifetime. You are saved now, and guess what? You're saved forever. Never to lose that salvation. No matter what happens with you, to you, in this life, you can never lose your salvation. Correct? Amen. And so, but there is this time coming in which all of our works, our earthly works, are going to be there in front of God. And if they were worthless or bad, according to 2 Corinthians 5:10, they're going to burn up. If they had some value to them, as we're laying up treasures in heaven, they're going to withstand the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble, you just touch a match to that, it's going to burn up just like that. Gold, silver, and precious stone, the fire's not going to have any effect on that, except fire, we know, with gold and silver makes it better and better and better. I don't know about precious stones. I don't know that much about that. But I do know that they're not going to just burn up like that as the wood, hay, and stubble would. So, again, you are preparing for the judgment seat of Christ right now in this life. It's either gold, silver, precious stones, or it's wood, hay, stubble. If you're living for you, living for self, living for your own enjoyment and your own pleasure, then that's wood, hay, stubble. If you're not tithing, giving to missions, you're not, you know, being faithful and reading God's Word, and just trying to be the faithful Christian that you need to be, that's wood, hay, and stubble. But if you're living for Christ, trying to do the best you can, praying and reading and just, you know, Lord, help me to live for you today. And yeah, we're going to stumble and fall and fumble the ball periodically in life. But we all know that we can get back up again and keep on going. I think that's gold, silver, precious stones. And again, you choose what you want to do. You want to live for you? Then go ahead and live for you. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to burn up. But you're still going to be saved. You're still going to enter into heaven. Thank God for that. So again, you choose. There's two choices to make. Number one choice is, which judgment do you want to be at? You want to be at this one? You're still saved and you're going to enter into heaven. And you're still going to receive the blessings of eternity. You might lose some things. I don't know. It depends on how you live your life. You're preparing for the judgment seat now. So don't make an excuse that, you know, well, I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can prepare for judgment day. Judgment is coming for all of us. I would highly recommend here tonight that you prepare for that. That you make sure that your life is in accordance with God's Word. And you are following the Word of God. And you're doing what God wants you to do. The best that you can. And that's all God expects of us. I think sometimes we put such a huge thing. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. We've got to do this. We don't got to do anything. We get to do whatever God wants us to do. It's a change of attitude. So, there's heaven for the saved, and that's the judgment seat of Christ, or there is hell for the lost. And you actually choose that judgment. You say, how do I choose that judgment? You choose that judgment by not doing anything with Christ. By simply ignoring the plea to be saved. You ignore that plea and you don't get saved and you're going to do it your way. Everybody has their opinions. You talk to anybody down somewhere, they're all going to have their own opinion as to how they go to heaven. But the Bible gives, it's one way to heaven. It's a narrow way. It's one way through Jesus Christ. Him only. That's how you get into heaven. There is a heaven for the saved and the judgment seat of Christ. Or there is the hell, or hell for the lost, and that is the great white throne judgment. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20. I can't emphasize this enough, that it's a choice that every human being makes. Now, most human beings don't know they're making this choice, right? I mean, think about that. The typical lost person out, they have no idea they're making a choice towards judgment day. They don't know they're choosing, you know, if they go through life not getting saved and doing their own thing, they don't know they're choosing the great white throne judgment. But the Bible makes it very clear. And maybe even some Christians that don't know their Bible don't know they're to be preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know. I would hope and pray that Christians that read their Bible in a Bible-believing church know that they need to be preparing for the judgment seat of Christ. And so here in Revelation chapter 20, let me pick up in verse 10 and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I shout amen, hallelujah for the devil and the false prophet, for them being in the lake of fire. However, there's a very sobering next few verses here also. Not only is the devil going to be in the lake of fire, and remember, God created hell or the lake of fire for the devil and his angels, right? I believe that's Matthew 12, I think that is. God prepared that for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. God never, never prepared hell for a human being. God wants nobody to die and go to hell. Nobody. The Lord could save anybody, anywhere, from anything, right? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches us. Anybody, any human being, anywhere on this planet can be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 11. John is writing here. He's saying, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Remember, works do not get you into heaven. So many people think they do. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man. You should underline those two words, every man. See, every person's going to be at one of these judgments. Every man, it says, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, there's no second chance at this one. It'd be nice if God gave everybody a second, third, fourth, tenth chance at this particular judgment. But you know what he does? He gives everybody the chance in life to be saved. Every human being, I believe, gets at least one golden opportunity to be saved. You believe that? God gives every human being an opportunity to be saved. Many times he'll give you two opportunities, or three, or four, or 1,000 opportunities to be saved. God is long-suffering, the Bible says, not willing that any should perish. Long-suffering, that means he's patient with people today. He's patient with the lost. He wants to see people saved. He made heaven big enough for every human being he's ever created. I mean, 7.8 billion people in the world today, if they all died right now and they were saved, heaven would be plenty big enough. You don't have to worry about overcrowding in heaven. Matter of fact, we don't have to worry about overcrowding here on planet Earth. All of the environmentalists say, oh, I heard this one guy saying that everybody, we just need to start eliminating people. That's what some of these abortion people believe in. Let's start aborting babies because we're running out of room on planet Earth. There's plenty of room on planet Earth. I mean, there are vast areas where there are nobody living. And so there's plenty of room on this planet for many, many more millions of people. Billions of people more could be here on this planet. It's just an excuse by the liberals to try to eliminate people and euthanize human beings and abort babies to eliminate people. It's the devil's work, by the way. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here's the last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jump over to chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Folks, judgment is coming. There's two judgments. Judgment seat of Christ for the saved. That's where I'm going. Some of you going there? I would hope all of you are going there. Let's hope that all of us go there. Amen? That's where we're going to go. That's where I'm going to go. And then there's the other one. That's the great white throne judgment. We just read about it there in Revelation chapter 20. And that is for all the lost. Did you notice that nobody is getting saved in this one? Did you notice that nobody's getting a second chance in this one? You know why? Because they had all the chances that they could have before they died. Once death comes, nobody gets another chance. Once you die, you don't get another chance. These are the opportunities that you have now. You have the opportunity to prepare for Judgment Day now, right now. As you are sitting here, as I'm standing here, we are to be preparing for Judgment Day. Whether it's the Great White Throne Judgment, which hopefully you would say no to that one and say, I want to go to the other one. let me get saved so I can at least go to the other one. But judgment is coming. There's a heaven for the saved. There's a hell for the lost. No in between. That's a sure thing. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, it is sure. Let's go back to that text before I give you the next one. It's sure. It's something that this is what's taking place. It says in verse 2, chapter 2, Romans 2 and verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The judgment of God is coming. Number 3, the third sure thing that we see, go over to Job 24. Job 24. Here's the third thing that I wrote down. Job 24. And I wrote this one down for this point. Point number 3 is life is fragile. Matter of fact, life is very fragile. Life is more fragile than you think it is. Sometimes people think they're invincible. And they're going to live just, you know, going on and on and on. I feel pretty good today. I think I'm just going to keep on living. Life is very fragile. You have no clue. You have no idea that you're going to make it through tomorrow. I don't care how old you are, young, old, life is very fragile. And there's no better example in our Bible than Job himself. So look at Job chapter 24 and look at verse 22. Job 24 in verse 22. This is Job speaking, chapter 24 in verse 22. Little verse, but look at it. It says, he draweth also the mighty with his power. He riseth up, and no man is what? Sure of life. You know what he's saying? You have no clue what's going on. I have no clue what's going on in my life. No man is sure of life. Simply stated that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. No man is sure of life. How many people have you known that have laid their head on their pillow? I'm not trying to startle you tonight, but some people have laid their head on their pillow and they've only woken up in heaven or hell. They never woke up on planet Earth. I remember Bruce Craig, Pastor Craig's wife, Brenda, many, many years ago. I got a phone call on a Sunday morning early from Brother Merritt. And he called me and says, did you hear about Pastor Craig's wife, Brenda? And I says, no, what? She died in her sleep. And so Brother Craig got up that morning and she had died of a heart attack in her sleep. He had to face his church that day. He was pastoring. Very difficult thing to go through. But she went to bed. I mean, she was struggling with some heart issues, but she went to bed the previous night, apparently fine. But God said, it's time to take you home. So life is extremely fragile. And again, what better example than Job? Job was doing great. I mean, he literally owned the world, you might say. He was very rich. He was very popular. He was one of the greatest walking in today's vernacular Christians in the East. He was a man that loved God, followed God, worshiped God, believed in God. I think he was faithful to God in every aspect of his life. But look what happened to Job. And he's simply saying in that verse, he says, no man is sure of life. And so life is fragile. We see that in James chapter 4. James 4. James chapter 4. And verse 14. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. The interesting part is the first part of that verse. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. We have plans for tomorrow. We're going to get up. We're going to have a school day. We've got things going on. Kathy has a doctor's appointment. We've got stuff we're doing around here. And life goes on. But, you know, life can change just like that. One false move, life can change. Because life is very fragile. Your heart beats because God wants it to beat.
Right.
And as soon as God says, stop beating, it's going to stop beating. Psalm 89 and verse 47. We'll come back to James 4. Don't lose your place there. We'll come right back to that. But look, turn to Psalm 89, verse 47. Psalm 89, verse 47. Psalm 89, 47. It says, remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? How short is your time? Compared to eternity, how short is your life? There's a few, not too many in this room, that's a little older than me. I'll be 66 in a couple of weeks. Whew, man, it's old. I'm younger than you are. I know you are. But you know what when I was younger, I figured the Lord was going to come back. I had the rapture pegged back in the 70s. When right after I got saved, I started hearing messages about the second coming of Christ. There were things going on in the world that so many of us thought Christ was coming back then. Then the 80s came along, and we saw what was going on with President Reagan, and the walls were coming down. We said, man, the Lord is coming. Look what's going on. The walls are coming down. Things are happening. Peace treaties being signed, even beyond that with Clinton and Arafat and all the other ones over there. And I think it was Sherez or whatever his name. I mean, we thought, the Lord is coming back. Look at what's going on. But we're still here. It's 2020. 2020. Yeah, Y2K came along 20 years ago. Man, the Lord's coming. Wow, we won't be able to survive the Y2K. The computers are shutting down. Jesus is coming back. There were people that believed that the Y2K was bringing Jesus Christ back. And Y2K, I'll never forget. We actually were waiting up that night to see what would happen at 12:01. And nothing happened. The computers worked. TVs were still on. Everything was working. Lights were on. We thought, wow. Some people went crazy buying up all kinds of stuff. He was ready. He was ready. And even now, do you see what President Trump did with Israel this past week? He is the most friendliest president to Israel that Israel, this is out of the lips of Netanyahu, that Israel has ever seen. Israel has never seen a president so friendly to it than President Donald Trump. They signed some peace agreements. The Palestinians don't like it because it favors Israel, but it's a plan, it's a peace plan that President Trump and Netanyahu has put together to allow for the two states, the Palestinians and the Israelis. And, I mean, some people are saying this is one of the best plans that has ever been made. I mean, it was brought up at the agreement this past week. With the two of them, they brought up May 1948, and Netanyahu was talking about that. And he said, since that time, there's never been anybody as friendly to Israel as. And I look at that, and I said, wow, the Lord's coming back soon. Yeah. Now we see all of the stuff that's going on in the world, and we're saying the Lord is coming back soon. But that's all we can say is the Lord is coming back soon. We believe He's coming back soon. It may not be for another 50 years. It may be in the next 5 minutes. But we know He's coming back soon. We don't know. Our time, though, on this planet is short compared to eternity. If I make it to 90, which I doubt I will, but who knows? It's still short compared to eternity. If I make it to 100 years old, it's still short compared to eternity. We had a lady who lived across the street, lived to be 103 years old. Kathy led her to the Lord in the nursing home, I believe. Right, Kath? Well, she was over 100 then, right? Yeah. She died at 103 years old. And thank God she got saved. Dear, sweet lady. School teacher for, I don't know, 50, 60 years or whatever. But 103 years old is tiny compared to eternity. Your life and my life is short compared to eternity. Life is fragile. Job said it. Hey, we're not sure of life. You're not sure of life. Life is short. Death is sure. But Jesus saves. That's my funeral sermon. I just gave you my 3 points of my funerals. I preach that at just about every funeral. Not every, but I think that really sums up life. Life is short compared to eternity. Death is sure for all of us unless the rapture occurs. I'm hoping for the rapture. I'm praying for the rapture. But hey, I'm in a win-win situation. That's right. If I have a heart attack tonight or tomorrow or next week or next month and I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. You know, I used to think, I only want to go in the rapture. I don't want to die. But I'm thinking that the older I get, I don't care. What difference does it make? I'm going to heaven either way. Is there one that I would prefer? Yeah, I would prefer the rapture. Amen? Wouldn't we do it? Yeah, that's true. But we would prefer the rapture maybe. Go through life and, you know, all of a sudden see the Lord and hear the trumpets and the shout and there. That would be great. But hey, if the Lord decides to take me home another way, that's okay too. I'll leave that up to Him. Amen. But remember, life is fragile. So fragile. So fragile. We'll end with that point there tonight. We just looked at two more. So we got 3 out of the 6 done. And we'll look at the other ones next week. But I hope it made a little sense to you tonight. Remember, God is a sure God. The Bible is a sure book. And when we think about these things, we need to understand that there are absolutes with God. And there are sure things with your life and my life. Father, thank you again for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the message. We pray that you would again speak to our hearts in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.